Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Ches. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Zayinam Beis. We are at Mincha in Echelos Ella L'Zichrei Kuhuna, about five lines from the end of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alin Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Ala Shalom, as well as by Esti and Avi Goldstein on the occasion of the seventh yard site of their beloved son, Zachary Chaim Tzvi, Ben Avram, whose yard site is Wednesday's, Neshamash Avin Aliyah, also by the Gross family, Lizekhar Nishmas, Chan Aleah, Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda, Ben Rav Nachum, Chai Aleah, Bas Naftali Herzka, and Tzvi Menachem, Ben Shmayo, the Neshamash Avin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today is the last daf of the 11th parak, and we'll begin by the 12th parak, time permitting. So the discussions we're going to have today is, first we're going to continue to learn to derive halachos about all karbanos from particular karbanos, because the pasuk tells us zos haTorah laOla v'laMincha v'laChatas v'laAsham v'laMilum v'laZevach Hashlamim. So we see that we link all the karbanos to one another. So we're going to identify particular halachos by each karban that are going to apply to all of the karbanos. That's pretty much all of Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if kibbutz begadim is required when there are two different types of dam that are on the beged. We know that dam chatas that splatters on the beged requires kibbutz. What about when there are different types of dam that are on the beged? Does it matter which one is on top, which one's on the bottom? If dam ola hits the beged first and then dam chatos on top of that, or vice versa? Then the Gemara is going to discuss which stains are a chatzitza for a tevila. If you want to be tovel a beged, but the beged has dam on it, so where the beged has oil on it, what is going to be a chatzitza for the tevila to invalidate the tevila? Then the first Mishnah in the 12th parak of Maseches Zvachim is going to talk about which kohanim are not allowed to be cholik b'kachim, which kohanim do not get a portion of the kachim. So let's begin, again, about five lines from the end of the page, on daf tzadi zayin amud bey. So we're deriving halachos from one karban, from each karban to all the other karban. So mincha, now what do we learn from mincha? Ma mincha in nechalas al zichri kuna, av kalin in nechalim al zichri kuna. Just like a karban mincha is only eaten by male kohanim, so too all karbanos are only eaten by male kohanim. Maihi, which of the karbanos do we learn from mincha to teach me that only male kohanim can eat it? I chatos v'asham. If mincha is coming to teach me that a chatos v'asham can only be eaten by a male kohen, well, behed yiksebu. I don't need to learn that from mincha. That it says beferish by the karban v'asham. It says kol zachar b'kohanim yochlenu, and by a chatos it says kol zachar b'kohanim yochalosa. So the bottom line is there's a pasuk for each one. V'i shalmi tzibur. And if it's coming to tell me that a shalmi tzibur can only be eaten by zichrei kuna, so that I also know mirubuya dekraasi, that I learned from a ribuy in the pasuk that it says by the matnas kuna bakodesh hakadoshim tochlenu kol zachar yochaloso. So yochaloso teaches me that limer al shalmi tzibur sheinachol and el zichrei kuna, that shalmi tzibur can only get eaten by zichrei kuna. Now that pasuk happens to be by parshas Korach, and it doesn't say that we're talking about zivchei shalmi tzibur over there. But Rashi points out that even though it doesn't say it, that it's about zivchei shalmi tzibur, it says kodesh yelach, and by shalmi tzibur it says kodesh yiyu lashem lakohen. So it sounds like, that causes us to link the two parshios to one another. So that which it says by Korach is going to be true by the zivchei shalmi tzibur as well. But bottom line is, so now we have a question. We said that the whole limud from mincha is that it's only eaten by zichrei kuna, so two other karbanos are only eaten by zichrei kuna. Every other karban we could think of already has its own pasuk to tell me that it's eaten by zichrei kuna. So says Gemara, no, it's about shalmei tzibur. Ah, you just quoted another pasuk by shalmei tzibur? Tanai, it's a machlokas tanai, mika denafka lemehacha, mika denafka lemehacha. Everyone agrees that zivchei shalmei tzibur can only be eaten by zichrei kuna, but it's a machlokas where we learn it from. Either we learn it from mincha or we learn it from that pasuk in Parshas Korach. Tosos points out in the top Tosos over here that there's actually a third possibility of where we learn that zivchei shalmei tzibur are only eaten by zichrei kuna, because the pasuk says vasisim siarizim echad lechatas ushnei kvasim bnei shana lezevach shlamim. So we have a hekesh between shalmei tzibur and a chatas. So chatas we know know, is only eaten by Zichrei Kuhuna, Shalmei Tzibura, therefore likewise, only eaten by Zichrei Kuhuna. But Tosa says, since that limud does not appear in the Braisa, so the Gemara doesn't bring that limud. But there is a Nechanami, a third potential limud of how I know that Zichrei Shalmei Tzibura only eaten by Zichrei Kuhuna. Next, Chatas. What do I learn from Chatas to other Karbanos? So Ma Chatas Mekadeshes Bebalua, I've called Mekadeshes Bebalua. Just like a Karban Chatas is Mekadesh, is Mekadesh that which touches it, so to all other Karbanos are Mekadesh that which is Balea from them when they touch them, to take on all the restrictions of the original Karban. The Rashi points out, by the Mincha it says, Kol Asher Yiga Behem Yikdash, and the Tana the Braisa learns from Chatas and not from Mincha, because from the Mincha it wouldn't be a valid limud, because one might have said that it's only true by Mincha, because Mincha is bread or flour, so it's more absorbent than other than chatos, than meat is. So I would have thought that it's only true by Mincha, so that's why we learn it from chatos to other karbanos. Asham, what do I learn from karban asham? Ma asham ein shafir v'shilya kadosh po. Just like by a karban asham, the placenta and the embryonic sac are not kadosh in the asham. How do I know that? Because the asham can only be a male, so you can't. It doesn't have a shvir v'shilya, so they're not kadoshim, and therefore the chaylev and the shtei klayos of the vlad are not craven because there is no vlad. Avkol ein shvir v'shilya. So too, by other karbanos chatas and shlamim, which can be females, the chaylev and the shtei klayos that they have are not brought. So kasavar from the fact that the Tana the Braisa learns that ein shvir and shilya shalvados are karbanos kachim from the asham vlados kachim b'avyasin and kadoshim. We see that he holds that vlados that are born from karbanos only become kadosh upon their emergence from the mother. They only when they are born, and we learn that from Asham. And we also see from the fact that he's willing to learn from Asham that v'dan nefshar mishei efshar, that we can learn the halachos about something that's possible from a case that's impossible, because we're learning the halachos about the status of the shvir v'shilya on a female animal from the dinim of a male animal where there is no shvir v'shilya miluim. Then the pasuk went on to say miluim, the karbanos that are brought during the shivas yimei miluim for the Kohanim. So we learn ma miluim masrein b'sreifa, just like the karbanos of the miluim, whatever was left over from the meat of the karban is burnt, because the pasuk says that beferish that v'vasim b'sar miluim min alechem ad haboker v'sarafdes and osur b'esh lo yachol ki kodeshu. So it's clear that it's b'sreifa ve'ein bali chayim b'mosrein, and there are no bali chayim included in the din of the burning of the extras, because there were no bali chayim that were left over by the miluim. They were karbanos and they weren't mafresh other behemos for achrayus to make up for whatever might have gotten lost, and they didn't lose any of them, so there were no mosrehem. So avkol, so to all other karbanos mosrehem b'sreifa, whatever's left over from the meat of the karban has a din of sreifa vein balechayim b'mosrehem. And if you left over the balechayim, let's say an individual is mafresh two karbanos for achrayus, meaning he lost one of them, so he's going to be meschaper with the other one, or if he found the first one and then he's makriv one of them, the other one is no sir, so they don't have the halacha is that they are not nisrafin. You do not burn them. The achronim ask, why do I need a pasuk to be memayit no sir balechayim b'sreifa, since balechayim are not ro'i la'achila, it's not shayach din of no sir. So why do I need a pasuk to be memayit them? So that's a kasha that the achronim deal with. Shlamim, the next word in the pasuk is shlamim. So what do I learn from shlamim? Ma shlamim mifaglin umispaglin. Avkol mifaglin umispaglin. Just like a carbon shlamim, if a person has a machshava in one of the avodos al manas to eat the basar lechutzas mano, the carbon becomes pigul and it becomes puzzle, and the nesachim that are brought along with it are mispaglin with the rest of the carbon, so too all other carbonos. If you have a machshava to eat lechutzas mano, it's mispaglin and puzzle, and it will puzzle whatever nesachim are brought along with it. B'masnisa tana mishrei de Rabbi Akiva, we have a brisa that quotes from Rabbi Akiva that mincha ma mincha mikadeshes bebalua afkol mikadeshes bebalua, that we learn from carbon mincha that just like a carbon mincha that is mikadesh, all that touches it to be like it, because the pasuk says kol asher yigabe mikdash, so to any carbon that's boleya from the meat of another carbon, it's mikadesh the basar to be just like it, just like the more chamur of the two karbanos. So that's the limud Rabbi Akiva has from mincha. So says the Gemara, wait a second, why does the Torah have to write the din of kol hanogea yikdash both by korban chatos and by korban mincha? So vistrik lemichtav mincha, vistrik lemichtav chatos. Diashmin mincha. If the Torah only would have told me this din lagabe a korban mincha, I would have said that only by a korban mincha we have such a din. Daidi derakicha mibala. That since it's soft, it's bread, it's able to absorb, and therefore it's going to take on the chumrah of that which touches it. Aval chatos emelo. But the meat of korban chatos, maybe it's not like that. Viashmin chatos. And if the Torah would have told us the din only by a korban chatos, I would and mishum de carrier, because it's the thick meat that's fatty and maybe that facilitates the blios going through the meat. Aval mincha emelo, but mincha is bread, it's not fatty, so maybe wouldn't have the same tam going through all of it. So tzricha, that's why we need to be told both the din of kol hanogea yikdash by mincha and by chatos. Chatos, what do I learn from the word chatos in the pasuk? Ma chatos ein ba'el min achulin. Just like carbon chatos can only be purchased from chulin money, you're not allowed to use your meister sheni money to buy a carbon chatos. Ubayom, and you can only be makrav a carbon chatos during the daytime and not at nighttime. Ubiyado eimanis, and you can only do the avoda with your right hand, not with your left hand. Afkal in a ba'el min achulin. So too, every other carbon can only be brought from chulin. Ubayom, ubiyado eimanis, and also has to be brought only during the daytime, and you have to do all the avoda with your right hand. V'chatos minalan. How do I know all those things are true about a chatas? How do I know that you're that it's got to be with your own money and you're not allowed to use meiser sheni money? So Amar Chista, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says by Yom Kippurim v'ikrav Aaron es par hachatas asher lo misha lo v'lo mishal tzibur v'lo mishal meiser. So we darshan from asher lo that it's got to be his money as opposed to communal money, but also as opposed to meiser sheni money. It's got to be his money that he's free to use as he pleases, and that's what he's got to buy a carbon chatos with. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, we just said we also learn from chatos that you can only bring it during the daytime and that you have to use your right hand, and that's how I know all the other carbonos can only be brought during the daytime and you have to use your right hand. But is that true? By Yom, the fact that we can learn that carbonos have to be brought during the daytime, mi biyom tzavol sonafka. In the end of the parasha of the carbonos, when it talks about all the carbonos, it says biyom tzavol sonafka. So they all have to be done by Yom. From that pasuk says Mar Kedinas, for you're right. When the Tana says that we learn from Chatos that it's Biyom, that's extra. That we don't really learn from Chatos. Okay, Biyodoy Amanis, Midrab Barbachana Nafka. The fact that it has to be done with your right hand, that I know from Rab Barbachana. Dom Rab Barbachana, Omre Shlakish, Kalmakum Shnemar Etzba, Ukuhuna. Anytime the pasuk uses both the term Etzba, when it says Veloka Hakoin Midama Be'etzba O, or use the term Hakoin or Koanim, Eino Eliyamin. I know that it has to be done with the right hand. So the Gemara is assuming that that means when either the term etzba or the word kohen is used, I know that you have to do it with your right hand. By every carbon, the word kohen is used. So shouldn't I automatically know that it's got to be done with the right hand? Why do I need to learn it from chatas? The word kohen appears by all the carbonos, says Gemara Kedinispa. It's extra. I don't really learn that from chatas. The only thing I really learn from chatas is which money you use to pay for the chatas. That it cannot be meiser sheni money. It needs to be chulin money. Or alternatively, another answer of how to be miyashev, why I need to learn from chatos that it's got to be with the right hand, because Savalok Rabbi Shimon damar etzba lo bayakuhuna. Rabbi Shimon holds that once it has the word etzba, then I know it's got to be the right hand. You don't even need the word kohen or kuhuna associated with it. But kuhuna baya etzba, if it only uses the word kohen or kohanim, so then I don't yet know that it needs to be with the right hand unless it also says etzba. And that you don't have by all all the kabbalos. So how do I know that all the kabbalos need to be done with the right hand? I learn it from chatos. So it's not kedin asva. It's actually a real limud from chatos. Asham. What do I learn from asham? Ma asham atzmos mutar nafkal atzmos mutar. Just like the bones of a carbon asham, after your makrovit, you could use for whatever you want. You can make kalim, bone china, out of the bones of a carbon asham. So too in ola, even though the carbon ola is entirely burnt on the mizbeach, the atzamos, the bones of the carbon ola, are in fact going to be mutter for one to use. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Amarav, so that's the end of those drushos from the pasuk that teach me to link all of the carbonos to one another. So now we move on to the din of dam chatos that splatters on a beged, where we know the halach is that it requires kibus. So Amar Rav Pshitali, one thing that's obvious to me is dam chatos lemaila v'dam ola lemaila tohen kibus. Certainly, if the dam chatos hits the beged first and then dam ola hits on top of the dam chatos, so certainly that beged is going to need kibus, because the dam chatos is what is mechayiv the kibus, and the dam chatos is absorbed in the beged. So in that case, for sure, it's going to need kibus. The Rambam writes in Maisar Karbonos Perches Halachates that when we say dam chatos and then dam ola on top of it, it's lav dafka dam ola. It could be dam anything on top of it. It could be dam chulin on top of it. The point is that there's dam chatos absorbed in the beged, and therefore it's going to require kibus. Boy Rava, but Rava says, here's what I'm not sure about. Dam ola lemata v'dam chatos lemaila. What if you have dam ola that hit the beged first and the dam chatos splattered on the exact area where the dam ola already was? So mahu, does such a beged require kibbutz? Do you say that since the reason the Torah requires kibbutz on a beged where dam chatos splattered on is mishum nogeyahu vanogeya? Is it just because dam chatos is touching the beged? And in this case as well, the dam chatos is touching the beged? O dilma mishum baluahu? Or is it because it is absorbed in the fabric? But over here, the dam chatos is not absorbed in the fabric because it hit on the spot where the dam ola already was, where the other dam already was. So the dam ola was the one that was the dam that was absorbed into the fabric. The dam chatos was not. Now, why is the dam chatos considered to be nogeya in the fabric? The dam chatos, l'chor, is not even nogeya in the fabric. It's nogeya the dam ola, right? The dam ola hit the fabric. Dam ola is absorbed. The dam chatos is touching the dam ola. So that's what the Achronim point out, that if you look at Rashi carefully, Rashi in Dibra Maskel Vaha explains that the dam ola is nivla in the beged. And the reason he has to say that is because then the dam chatos that is on it is nogeya bebeged. Meaning, if the dam ola was on the surface of the beged, then in a chinami, the dam chatos on it is touching the dam ola. It's not touching the beged. But once the dam ola is absorbed in the beged, so then the dam chatos is actually touching the beged. Now, the Achronim are bothered. Why does Rashi need to say that, though? The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that there is a klal when it comes to dinei chatzitza that min bimino eino chotzeitz. So, let's say the dam ola were not absorbed in the beged. Let's say you were on the surface of the beged. Let's say the beged were like made out of those, like they make those tablecloths that, you could wipe it off. So it was sitting on the surface of the beged. And then the dam chatos was on top of that. So it's still considered to be touching the beged, because min bimino ain't a chotzeitz. Dam and dam is min bimino. So mimel, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. So some of the achronim suggest, to say for dam zvachim, that since it says kol asher yiza midama ala beged, the dam has to touch the beged mamish, and otherwise, if it's not an actual mamish negiya in the beged, even though in chinam it's not a chatzitza as far as chatzitza is concerned, but over here there's a separate din called negiya, that it's not just that it has to be on the beged from a general halachic perspective, but that there's an additional actual negiya that is required. A little bit difficult. Now the Binyan Tzion writes in a tshuva that it's dafka when the beged is boleya the dam, that Rav is not sure that maybe it's not able to be boleya further dam. But let's say the beged was not boleya dam. Let's say, meaning we mentioned before that the Rambam says it doesn't have to be dam ola, it could be dam chulin, could it be oil, could it be water? Let's say water hit the beged and got absorbed in the beged and then dam chatos hit the beged. Is Rav going to be mesupak about that also? Meaning, after all, it is nogeya, it's not balua, so the Binyan Tzion says, no, the Gemara Dafka says it about dam, for whatever reason, the nature of dam is that once the first dam is balua in the beged, the second dam is not going to be nivla in the beged. But if water or oil is nivla in the beged, then dam will be able to be nivla in that beged. But anyway, this is Rava's Shaila, that you have one type of dam that gets absorbed in the beged, and then the dam chatas on top of that, so it doesn't require kibbutz bagadim. So Hadar Pashto, Rava ultimately answered the question, de'ein tu'un in kibbutz, that it does not require kibbutz bagadim, the chiv of kibbutz for the beged where dam chatas splatters on is because the dam is balua in the beged. In this case, the dam is not balua in the beged, and therefore it does not require kibbutz. Now, Karen Ora points out, it does not require kibbutz, but you do need to be gorer the dam, because the halacha is even a kli eitz that has dam chatas on it. You have to be gorer the dam. You certainly have to scrape the dam off. So that you certainly have to do, says the Karen Ora. So now the Gemara explains, what happens if a beged becomes tameh, and therefore you need to tovel the beged, and there's something that might be a chatzitza on the beged. So generally speaking, the basic rules of chatzitza are as follows, that when you have rubo umakbid, it's chotzitz. When you have something that covers the majority of the item you're being tovel, and it's something that you don't always want there, so then it is going to be a chatzitza. If a woman wants to go to the mikveh, or a man for that matter, wants to go to the mikveh in order to go in harabayis and do the avodah or he's a zav, or for whatever reason, he has to go to the mikveh for a halachic reason, and you go in full scuba gear, so that is a chatzitza midaraisa. That's a chatzitza midaraisa, even if you're not makbid, it's rubo umag. You go in fully clothed, so that's a chatzitza midaraisa, because the clothing covers the majority of your body, and it's something that you're makbid to not always have on you, right? A person doesn't always want to be wearing a suit. Sometimes they're taking a shower, they're going swimming, they're doing whatever. So that's called makbid. When you have either rove or makbid, something that covers the majority of your body that you're not makbid about, or something that you're makbid about even over a teeny tiny portion of your body, that is going to be chatzitza midrabanan. If it's a miut she'eno makbid, it's on a tiny part of the body, it's on a minority of the body, or the item that you're being tovel, and you're not makbid about it, then it's not a chatzitza at all. So you get the shayla a lot of times. Someone comes back from the keli mikveh, and they found that on the bottom of the dish that they were toveling, there was this tiny sticker that they didn't even realize was there. They forgot to remove the sticker. So the answer is, if you noticed it, would you be makbid to take it off before you use that dish when you have company over? So oftentimes the answer is no. I didn't even notice that it was there. I only wanted to take it off because of the chiv of tevila. But otherwise, I never would have even noticed it. Never. It's on the bottom. I know none of the company's going to see it. It doesn't bother me at all. So then it's a miyuchena makbid, and the tevila is valid. But if it's something that you would say, yeah, of course I would take it off because it bothers me that it's there. So then you have to go bring it back to the mikveh. So Amar Rava Pshitali says, dam al bigdo. If there's dam on a beged, and the beged requires tevila, chotzeitz, that is a chatzitza. Ve'im tabachu, but if the person whose beged the dam is on happens to be a butcher, then eino chotzeitz. If he's a shochet, then it's not a chatzitza, because it's only chatzitza for something that you're makbid about. And the butcher or the shochet is not makbid about dam al bigdo. That's sort of like natural to his profession, that you're always going to have that. Now, l'chora, one could have asked, well, wait a second, why don't we say batel daito etzel das kol adam? Maybe he's not makbid on it. Most people, when they have dam on their beged, are makbid about such things. So the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches in Yeridea, which is where at the end of Hilchos Nida, where we discuss the dinim of chatzitza, says any butcher, any shochet would not be makbid. So he's his own category of people, and anyone in his category would not be makbid, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. The Prisha over there explains that since anybody who were in his profession would not be makbid about this, this is called that the whole world's not makbid about it. Meaning anyone in his circumstance, in his profession, is would not be makbid. So mela, he's not makbid about it either. It's not a hakpada. So that is the issue of makbid. That if he's a butcher, then it's not going to be a chatzitza. There's discussion about netilas yadayim for a mayel. That if a mayel has blood on his hands, so is that a chatzitza for netilas yadayim? Do you say, well, anyone who's a mayel is used to having blood on his hands, and therefore it's not considered to be a chatzitza, or do you say, well, wait a second, a butcher may not be uncomfortable with having blood on his begadim because he gets his begadim dirty, right? And blood is on your hands, that maybe is like a different story, right? Maybe when it's on a person's body, we're not going to assume that there's no hakpada. Revaval bigdo, if a person has an oil stain on his beged, chotzeitz, and the beged became tame, so the oil stain is chatzitza. V'immocher revavu, and if he's an oil salesman, so he's got oil on his body all the time, say on his clothing all the time, then it's not going to be chatzitza. By Rava raises the following shayla. Dam urevav al bigdo mahu. What if he's a total mess? He has blood and oil on his beged. So then what's the halacha going to be? Are they both going to be together? Are they going to join up to be chotzeitz? Well, im tabachu typically mishum revav. Well, if he's a shochet, then the oil stain should be a chatzitza for him because he's not used to that. V'imocha revavu, and if he's an oil salesman, typically mishum dam, then the dam should be a chatzitza because he's not used to that. So what kind of shaila? Meaning, of course, it's going to be a chatzitza for mimanavshu, whatever his profession is, it's going to be a chatzitza. So says more lotzricha David ha veha. He's a jack of all trades. He's a shochet at some times, and he sells oil other times. Whatever you need, you know, he fixes your shoes, and he gives haircuts, and he does right. It's like one of those shops, right? So he does everything. So the achada lo kapin atarti kapin. Do we assume that he's not makbid about one of the things, but he is makbid about both of them? Odilma atarti nami lo kapin. Or maybe he's not makbid even when it's two different things that normal people are makbid about. He's not going to be makbid. So take the Gemara doesn't answer that question. In Ayala Sashachar, Rav Shimon says, well, why don't you just ask him if he's makbid about it or not? So the answer is because it's not dependent on him. It's dependent on tabachim in general. If people in his category would be makbid. So you'd have to find every butcher oil salesman and figure out whether someone in that category would be makbid on the double chatzitza. So Adon Lachdam Chatas, we now begin the 12th perek of Meseches Zvachim. So this is a perek Tevul Yom. So the Mishnah is going to identify which Kohanim are not allowed to be Cholik Bekadshim. So Tevul Yom, if a guy went to the mikveh and he became Torah from a Tumah D'Oraisa, but he still requires Harav Shemesh. He still needs to wait for Harav Shemesh in order to become Tahar. Umuchus Kippurim. Or a person is one of the people that are in the category of Tumah, where you require a Korban in order to get out of the Tumah. So it's not enough that he waits for, that he goes to the mikvah and waits for evening. The next morning, he needs to bring a Korban. That category includes a Zava Yoledes, a Zav, and a Mitzora. All of them, even though they had Tevila and Harav Shemesh, their Tahara is only complete in the sense that they're not allowed to eat kachim until they bring karbanos the next day. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Mechusrei Kapara, Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph. Like, that's the most foundational basic halacha in Hilchos Mechusrei Kapara, that those four people, Zav, Yoleda, Zav, and Mitzora, are Mechusrei Kippurim until they bring karban the next day. Sein and Cholkin, they don't get kachim lecha le'erev. They're not allowed to get a portion of the kachim to eat it that evening. That evening, that implies that you have to wait till evening. For Tevul Yom, yes, you have to wait till evening. Mechusar Kapara, you need to wait till evening for a Mechusar Kapara. So the Gemara is going to say, the Mishnah says La'erev because of the case of Tevul Yom, that he has to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. But Mechusar Kapara doesn't have to, he just has to bring his karbanos, and then he does another Tevila Midrabanan after he brings his karbanos. But after that Tevila Midrabanan, he does not need to wait until the following evening. So, but the point over here is, Tosfos points out, they both cannot have kachim until they finish their process. Onain, someone who's an onain. Now, when the Mishnayos use the term onain, it's not the way we use the term onain. The way we use the term onain is what the Mishnayos call misha meso mutal defanav. Someone who has a relative who died, who they have not yet buried. It could be 2 days later. They have not yet buried. We would call that person an onain. When the Mishnah refers to an onain, it's biyom shemes bomes, that it has to be on the day that the relative died, and it could be even after the kavura, but it's the day that the relative died, he has a din of onein min haTorah. So an onein is not allowed to eat kachim, so nogeya ve'eino makriv, he's allowed to touch kachim, he's not metame by touching it, but he's eino makriv, he's not allowed to be meshamish bekodesh, and he's not allowed to eat kachim either, ve'eino cholik, and he doesn't get a chelek of the kachim, lechol erev, even to eat it that evening when his aninus is necessarily over, because by that evening it's already the next day. Bali mumin, a person who has a mum, bein bali mumin over him, bein bali mumin kavuin, whether it's a temporary mum or a permanent mum, cholkin va'olchlin avalo makrivin. They can get a chelek of the kachim, they can eat the kachim, but they cannot be makriv. Kol she'eno roi la'avoda, now the Mishnah gives a klal, anyone who's not roi la'avoda, eno cholik babasar, is not allowed to get a chelek of the basar, except for, with the exception of bali mumin. Bali mumin cannot do the avoda, but they do get a chelek of the basar, so it's not a full klal. V'kol she'ein lo babasar, ein lo ba'oros. And anyone who doesn't get a chelek of the basar of the karbanos also doesn't get a chelek of the oros of the karbanos. Afilu tamei b'shas rikas damim, even a kohen who was tamei at the time that they did the zrika of the dam of the karban, v'tar b'shas hektar chalavim, but had already become tahor by the time they were burning the chalavim, meaning he went to the mikveh after they did the zrika sadam, and then he had a harav shemesh, and the chelvei akarban are only burnt at night after he already had his harav shemesh, so he's totally tahor at the time of the hektar chalavim, eino chelek b'basar. He still cannot get the basar, because the basar, who gets the basar, is determined at the Zrikas Hadam. And this guy was Tameh at the time of the Zrikas Hadam. Shenemar, Hamakrev Estam Ashlamim, Eschelev Mibnei Aaron, Lotia Shoka Yamin, Lemana. So it mentions Zrikas Hadam, and someone who wasn't Torah then is not included in Hamakrev. He's not someone who's able to be Makrev. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Tzadi Tess Amar Aleph at the top of the page. Oh, I should leave it on? Okay. Everyone have a Freilich Hanukkah, Chodesh Tov, all of that. Okay.
Chevra, please oblige me and stick around. Ready? Just 2 minutes, please. On behalf of the Daf Chevra, Freilich Hanukkah, tonight Zos Hanukkah is understood as the day when the full aura of Hanukkah is revealed. Not only the light of the last candle, but the accumulated aura of all 8 days. We learn that this light is not meant to remain confined to Hanukkah itself, but rather to be an aura shenimshach, a light that continues into the ordinary days that follow. Rosh Chodesh Teves reinforces this idea in a powerful way. The moon renews itself quietly and gradually. Chazal teach us that true chiddush does not come from dramatic moments alone, but from kavias, steady, consistent avoda. Chazal tell us, Torah niknes bekvias. Daf Yomi perhaps exemplifies this better than any other framework of learning. Daf after daf, day after day, building Torah through commitment and consistency. Rebbe, your daily giving over of the Daf Yomi reflects this so beautifully. Through your clarity, preparation, and dedication, you bring Or HaTorah into our lives in a way that is engaging, the Daf Yomi coincidences, accessible and lasting, Wayu Torah, all daf. This shiur doesn't end when the daf ends. The aur continues with us throughout the day. The conjunction of Zos Chanukah, a time that highlights enduring light, and Rosh Chodesh Teves, the symbol of quiet renewal, it is especially fitting to express our sincere Hakar Satov to you. Thank you for the time, the effort, and tremendous dedication you invest in our learning every single day. It is truly as close to learn from the Rebbe. Yehi Ratzon Shetiske Lahamshich Laharbos Or Torah Ulhagdil Torah La'adir.
Okay, have a great day, everybody. Thank you all.
Thank you.